We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity where we receive your revealed word, where your spirit is at work through that word in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. Lord, let this be a day where we hear what you have to say, where we see what Jesus teaches us this morning, where we look to apply the lessons that you have given for the battle that we are in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we look at World War II and Vietnam and the draft, we realize that citizens were drafted and became soldiers in a period of as low as 3 weeks to as much as 16 weeks. So you would go from the couch and potentially in 3 weeks, at most 16 weeks, right into the theater of warfare where real bullets and real mortar were going off all around you. It's kind of a frightening prospect. Most of us would like to say, you know, could I have a little more time than 3 weeks to prepare for a real wartime situation? But that's what it was. It changed many times during World War II, but in the end, you received at minimum 3 weeks, at maximum 16 weeks, and you were on a ship or a plane heading right into the throes of that war. In our reading from the gospel this morning, Jesus enters into the waters of the Jordan. And there we hear the voice of his Father confirm to all of those present and even to us in retrospect that this indeed is the Son of God who was entered into the Jordan River. We also see the confirmation of the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus in his baptism, marking him as the one who enters into the water that he might bear the sins of the whole world, yours and mine and all of humanity. And in Mark's gospel, it's kind of unique. Mark uses that word immediately throughout his gospel. And so we see immediately after the baptism of Jesus, he is thrust into the wilderness. Similar to the Exodus, where God's people are delivered and then sent into the wilderness. And there's some parallels. Jesus is in the wilderness 40 days. The people of Israel are in the wilderness 40 years. But one big difference is the outcome of their battles in the wilderness. Jesus will show us what it means as he is all of Israel reduced to one, gaining the victory over his adversary and yours and mine, the devil himself. And so it's interesting that immediately after baptism, he is thrust, the text says, and the word Mark chooses is almost thrown into this battle against the devil. You could think of, as we had Rocky Balboa and a picture of him, it's very much the way that a boxer is thrown into the ring or shoved into the ring that he might face his adversary. So, we can ask ourselves really quickly, is Evelyn, or in the first service, Hannah, are they ready from their baptism to face the enemies of the world, the devil, and their own sinful flesh as soon as they're baptized? I think all of us would probably say, no, they're not ready. And we know they're not ready because we've all pledged that we've got to pour into them, we've got to teach the word to them, and we've got to help prepare them to live as a child of God, redeemed by Christ Jesus. So at the baptism, we rejoice that the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection are Evelyn's, are Hannah's, are yours, and they're mine. But here's the thing we almost never talk about at a baptism. As soon as they or we receive these benefits, we are immediately enlisted in the church militant. What does that mean? It means that we are one and part of the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and we are at war. One thing that happens in baptism is the devil puts his mark on us. We are no threat outside of Christ, but in Christ, we know we have an enemy. And the fight begins just as quickly for us as it did for Jesus. And we can ask ourselves, as we are maybe older or many years past our baptism, we can ask ourselves the question, are you ready for the relentless attacks of the unholy Trinity, that is, the world, the devil, and our own sinful flesh? Are you ready to fight those temptations and battle those temptations just as Jesus himself did? And successfully, mind you. So let's turn our eyes to Jesus and his battle in the desert against the devil. Mark doesn't give us all these details, but the Gospel of Matthew does give us quite a few of the details relating to Jesus' battle with the devil. And here's what we quickly learn is, could Jesus have simply exercised his divine power and wiped out the devil? Yeah, he could have, right? And we're going to see in the Gospel of Mark, throughout it, that Jesus will very often exercise his authority over demons, and he'll cast them out of people just by his word. But it's not what he does in this battle against temptations, which leads us to kind of ask the question, why doesn't he just flex his divinity and overcome the adversary? And I believe the answer to that is because that would do absolutely no good to people like you and people like me. As much as we might like to believe at times we're God, we're not. As much as I've ever in my life tried to tell my wife, hey, you know, Jesus says this, she reminds me, you're not Jesus. Right? I can't call upon my power as if I have some divine power for the fight. So what Jesus does here is right away for you and I to understand. Jesus uses two things in his fight against temptation. He quotes the Torah, or the revealed word of God, and we know that the Holy Spirit is with him in the fight. To overcome, to win the battle against the devil's temptations, he uses the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting that those are the weapons available to every baptized child of God throughout all the world? Jesus teaches you and me, he's not fighting with something that you don't have. He's fighting with something that you most certainly do have. And the only difference between you and Jesus in this fight is that Jesus didn't also have a sinful nature like we do. Which means for people like us, the battle is all the more frightening. And it's important to realize, in this lesson, Jesus is demonstrating victory over temptation. It's not the battle that he wins, or the war that he wins over the devil completely. That takes place after his death, and then with his resurrection, he gains that victory. The victory he's teaching you and I to wage in our battles is against temptation. And here's the fact of the matter is, sometimes in this life, you and I will use the tools of the Spirit and the living Word of God and fight temptation in such a way that that temptation does not lead to actual sin. And we also know that in some of these battles, We will not make use of the Word of God or of the Holy Spirit that dwells within, and we will chase what our inner desires want, and we will move from temptation into actual sin. Sometimes the temptations are defeated by us in this world. Sometimes they are not. And for the times that they are not, the Lord Jesus sets before you and me some gifts. The gifts of confession and absolution, repentance, forgiveness of sins, and the gift that we'll have a little later in the service of the Lord's Supper, whereby we receive Jesus' body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and for strength to live out our faith in a world where enemies are aimed against us. That's what He promises to give to you and to me. And even though we do have God's richness of forgiveness, understand this, brothers and sisters, we are here to fight. We are here to fight. We go from baptism into a lifelong battle that will continue, aimed against you and me until our death or until the Lord returns, whichever of those comes first. This is why Jesus, throughout the Gospels, reminds you and me with these tools of the Spirit and the Word to be awake, be alert, and stand ready. Because in this battle, there is no ceasefire. In this battle, there is no safety in the rear. This battle rages on day and night, every moment of every single day. And we do not raise the white flag of surrender to temptation because Jesus has given gifts to us for when we lose the battle. Yes, Jesus does provide the medicine for the wounds our sins bring about in our lives and in the lives of others. But let me tell you this, those gifts and means of grace that Jesus gives, they are not for people who refuse to fight. You hear this? The forgiveness of sins that God offers in Christ is not for those of us in the faith who refuse to fight. You might not win every battle. You might lose a fight, and there is forgiveness for you. You fought, and you were overcome, and you lost, and there's mercy. But there is no mercy for them who refuse to fight. That is, those who say, yes to sin, I'm not fighting, I'm just going to bank on the fact that I get forgiveness for letting temptation lead me to sin. This meal and this supper is not for you if you sit on your hands refusing to fight and make use of the Spirit and the living Word God has given to you. Let that sink in. God in His mercy will not be mocked. And you will stand under His righteous condemnation. See, Mark's gospel moves quickly because he wants us to follow the actions of Jesus because He is the one in whom we follow. He is the one whom addresses our wounds caused by our own sin. He is the one who has gone before us and shows us the way to eternal life. He is the one who has gained the victory in the war over the devil at his resurrection. But he reminds us, even though the battle or the war is won, the battle will rage on for us. So be awake. Be alert. Make use of that which he has given you, the Holy Spirit, the Word, absolution, the Lord's Supper. Make use of these gifts because you must be in the fight. And in the fight, you're not alone. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on your side. You have the Word of God, which is your sword. You have the brothers and sisters in the faith who have pledged to be with you and to walk with you and to fight right alongside you against the temptations that lead us to evil. Be alert. Be on guard. Stand guard. You know, if you set up a perimeter in war and you're on guard duty and you go to sleep, not only is your life in danger, but all of those with you, their life is in danger because you went to sleep. So Jesus says, stay awake. It doesn't take long or far when you look around the world today to see all the mess and the bodies piling up of those who were once in the faith and at some point they stopped fighting. And they died outside faith. Not just here, but all over the world, I would guess that the bodies that have piled up for going to sleep in this fight far surpasses all the bodies who have ever given themselves fully in a war in this world ever. All of them added together. Fight. And when you lose the battle, and it leads to sin, then pay attention for the Holy Spirit's calling you back to repentance, to receive mercy, to receive forgiveness, to return to the fight. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, while we rejoice in what you deliver to all of us in our baptisms on account of your goodness, love, and mercy, may none of us forget that we are, in this world, the church militant. We are the church, the individuals that you have redeemed at war with the devil, with the world, with our own sinful nature that seeks to destroy our faith, seeks to remove the cross and the empty tomb from our eyes. A world that seeks to tell us what God calls a sin isn't really a sin. Don't worry about it. As soon as we swallow that hook, we go to sleep and are at risk for dying on a battlefield without a faith that saves. So Lord, may your Holy Spirit strengthen us, equip us, call us to repentance, forgive us, restore us, and send us back out the door, back into the war. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.